All right, we're rolling for real.
All right.
Are you sure?
Yep. I'm sure.
Got to go to .com.
.com. Let me get my stopwatch going.
Oh, I thought we were
ready. I know.
For real.
All right, here we go. 3, 2.
Hey, Michael.
And 1. Welcome to the third Crafty Coders podcast. Podcast number 3.
Is it the third one?
It's the third one.
We're going to keep going, guys.
I don't know what 3 is in French.
We made it to 3.
I said deux last week, which is kind of two-ish. It's two-ish. So Trey? This is 3. Trey, probably.
Know it's French, so.
It's our third podcast.
I took 2 years of French.
My name is Eric Moore. I'm here with Chris Albrecht and Matt Chandler.
Hi.
The Crafty Coders.
The Crafty Coders.
Not the only Crafty Coders.
No. The only Crafty Coders.
Wow.
I mean, except for the other ones.
As you can see, podcast 3 has already gone to their heads. Today we're going to be discussing not necessarily programming. We're going to be looking at topics that involve IT departments, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. IS. IT,
yeah. The whole companies, really.
Right. The interviewing process of hiring programmers.
Yeah.
And then kind of sliding into the importance or, as some people might think, the lack of importance of college degrees or certification and or certifications, tech conferences. If anybody thinks that they actually get things from tech conferences, I haven't been to that many. So you guys will have to take over on that one. But that looks like that's what we're doing today.
All right.
Yeah.
If you got a question for the podcast, send us audio or text. If you're sending audio, keep it under a minute, please. To podcast@craftycoders.com, and we'll try to answer your question as best we can. If you send us some audio, we'll put you on the podcast and make you famous.
I got the first question, guys.
Oh, first question.
Yeah. I had somebody write in. They said they thought we were having a guest tonight, that maybe Michael was going to come in and help us. Now,
yeah, our fellow Crafty Coder, Michael.
He did mention he was a Crafty Coder. He wanted to be on the show.
I know.
What? Yeah, he's not going to be here, guys.
What?
What happened?
Yeah, he's letting us down.
No, he was excited about coming. He was fired up.
Yeah, he's letting us down.
I know. What happened?
I don't know. But he's not here.
All right.
Oh, hey, Michael. How's it going?
Oh, gosh. I'm a loser.
You're a loser? I don't think you're a loser, Michael.
I know. Really, I'm a loser. You guys should call me a guest from now on.
My code is crafty, though.
You have 2 voices, Michael?
Lots of voices. I'm really crafty.
Just kidding, Michael.
I know for a fact that we have all been interviewed before. And I've sat in, not necessarily for IT, but I've been in a position where I had to actually interview people. And it's an odd process sometimes.
Yes.
And you don't, if you don't prepare, then you don't have any idea what you're going to ask. And you get people sitting down and you don't know what you're doing. And then, or you get, easily get an employee who winds up not knowing what they're doing, not working out.
Absolutely.
And I know that... where we all 3 work, we've talked about, hey, maybe when we do hiring, everybody should throw in questions into the hat, and then whoever's going to actually do the process,
absolutely,
pulls them out.
It's a good idea and a bad idea at the same time, because you end up getting people who don't care, who do the same thing that the interviewees are doing, which is Googling questions, and so you'll get a canned question to get a canned response that really doesn't give you a whole lot, but.
Yeah.
If you get people who genuinely want to know specific answers, which, like you said, we've all been in interviews, and we've been in those that people will just ask you almost meaningless questions. You know, it's very hard for you to...
Like trivia questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That don't really tell them anything about your knowledge of programming.
Exactly. I can't help. Yeah.
I think there was, because I went in some weird interviews when I finally got into IT, one at a big major employer here in Oklahoma City. But I got questions like, would you feel comfortable taking this job if it required you to have green hair? I kid you not, that's a real
right.
question that I was asked in an interview. And the guy's like 3 years older than me, and I just was like, dude, come on. I know you read the non-traditional interviewing book,
But you're not just, Google.
No,
so.
Exactly.
Interviewing for dummies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How to sound like you're not doing the PAT interview. But and it was, he asked me about three or four of those questions, and it wound up just turning me off of the whole company. He was the face that I got to see of the company.
Yeah.
So, and, yeah, you have to be careful when you're trying to do that out-of-the-box interview thinking. And
interviewing programmers, or not even just programmers, but IT people, mostly programmers, DBAs, those type of people, it's a very specialized field. So it's hard to – it's a hard interview process, being the person interviewing, because it's hard to gauge their knowledge.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've actually been on both sides of the table, been to too many interviews, unfortunately, in my short career, and also have been at the last job I was at. I was the technical interviewer, you know, so I had to be responsible for asking people, and it's a learning process on both sides. Mm-hmm. You know, you find out real quickly that what you were taught in, say, college or these, I don't know, what are the those companies that try to place you, you know, those placement companies, I don't know.
Yeah, your express personnel, yeah, along those lines, yeah. Manpower and all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they give you these set of questions, you know how to answer these set of questions, which nobody really cares about in the IT field. I mean, I think it's pretty much come down to, we want to make sure that we've got technical people who can do technical things and also have a personality that, you know, we can teach them and they'll fit into the group. And when I was doing some interviews, what I fell into the problem was, I really like this guy, right, and forgot to ask, well, I wonder if he can code.
Right. Do you have any idea what you're doing?
Yeah.
As a friend, we could go have a beer later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help. On both sides, it's horrible, because it's pretty evident real soon into the process if they know what they're doing or not. And if they don't, then you have to say, well, I really like you, but
yeah,
you misrepresented yourself and I didn't do a good job of interviewing you.
So right. What's your thought on, so if you get 10 minutes into this interview and you're like, all right, I think this guy, say you're looking for a C-sharp developer, he's done C-sharp development in the past, he says he does, do you think he should write some code to kind of prove that he does have the general programming knowledge to code something in C-sharp?
What we did in the last place, And we actually did make them write pseudocode in a sense. But yeah, what we found out was, in the day of IntelliSense, nobody can really just write out code.
Yeah.
So we would do more of a, have code snippets and maybe say, you know, here's a snippet, fill in the line, or you know, here's a loop, what's X going to be at the end. So, some very simple.
What is this snippet going to do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
in general.
Give me, you don't have to write code, but tell me that you can read code. And I'm, you know, if you can read code, then you can write it. That's in my opinion. It's harder to read somebody else's code, I think, in a lot of instances, than it is to just go out and write a new program. So if you can read it, understand it, make some sense out of it, then that's a pretty good sign in my book.
Yeah.
So you would be okay with at least giving them that much? Because I remember in the one interview process that I was in, where I was had a, you know, a hand in who we were going to hire, I almost felt this guy's going to get insulted if I start asking him some very base things. Can you give me some examples of this? And not examples. Give me an example of a project you're proud of. You know, tell me, the last, you know, troubleshooting, you know, whatever.
But you know, those are actually good questions, because you can tell from the answer they give, in most instances, what type of person they were. You know, right, if somebody just kind of glazes over the details, then you're like, well, okay, maybe you really didn't get into the code. You know, if they start talking about project management as opposed to, you know, figuring out a certain type of whatever technical problem,
yeah,
you can get an idea of what the person's done in the past.
So do you tell the person beforehand they're going to have to write some code before they show up to the interview, or do you spring it on them right then and there?
I think you spring it on them.
I think, yeah, if you're feeling it out and that you're like, all right, this guy says he knows what he's talking about, I feel like he may know what he's talking about, let's see if he knows what he's talking about. But the thing is I think that...
Because if they do know it, you know, if you're really going to hire them, yeah, and they do know it, then they're not going to care.
Yeah.
They're going to be happy to show it to you.
And it doesn't have, like you said, you know, in the age of, especially when we're talking .NET stuff, you know, in the age of IntelliSense, where The compiler does so much for you.
Right.
You know, there's a lot you don't have to worry about in IntelliSense, and then the compiler tells you stuff. So I think that when you're looking at them writing code, it doesn't have to be compilable code. If there's something, you know, if they miss a parentheses, that's fine. If they mess up the order of parameters on some built-in method, that's fine. I think as long as you get they have the basic knowledge and know the logic.
The concepts, right.
Yeah. If they're going in the right direction logically, you can really feel out, hey, okay, this guy's done programming. He knows how to, you know, write programs that will work. I don't know. That's a loose term. Yeah. A lot of programs will work. Code that we like to see.
Right. But, you know, another reason maybe
crafty
you don't.
Crafty code.
Like it. Maybe another reason you wouldn't tell somebody right off the bat, though, is on the same token, like you were saying, if you interview somebody and you go, okay, I think this guy knows what he's talking about, let's take it a step further. You may realize right off the bat that, well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, and you're not doing them any favors, and you're not doing yourself any favors to keep that interview process going on.
Right.
When a lot of times you've made up your mind so quickly into it that it's going to take something huge to change you either way.
And that's, you know, that kind of, it makes me mad sometimes well, not that I have a lot of experience in interviewing people, but, you know, when someone puts on their resume, and usually you can tell these people because they have, like, every language known to man listed on their resume as a skill. Really?
Yeah,
you know every
Python,
one of those languages?
Python, PHP, ASP, and all the .NETs.
You mix them all together.
C, C sharp.
And, you know, you're looking for a developer, and then you get them in there, and you're like, all right, you have C sharp. We're looking for a C sharp developer. Well, I do that in my spare time. I've never actually done production code in that. It's like, you know, if you don't work with a language, if you don't really know a language, if you're going to have to Google everything, you know, Google's a good tool for programmers.
Sure.
But if you have to Google everything to build a project, you know, we don't want you.
Right.
You know, and I think that they don't need to be putting that on their resume. If you can't write logical code on a piece of paper that will, in a sense, work.
And if you are, denote it that I've got some light experience with it. Even just give it that. I've got light experience with this. I'm rock solid in, you know.
Yeah. Well, the best resumes we would see, the people would actually divide up their technical skills into technical skills that we use, you know, maybe that person would use daily, and then skills that they've been familiar with, whether it's been like academically or maybe on their free time at home.
Sure. Yeah. Like, I learned assembler in college. I know assembler.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, really?
I was in college 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I haven't done it since.
Yeah.
Now, you know, but we've been kind of focusing on, if you're bringing in that veteran employee, you know, that senior employee.
Yeah.
But there's also that different type of hire where you're looking in to bring somebody in junior in. And so you know that they're not going to. They're not going to know.
Yeah. That's kind of how I came in originally. You know, I guess I was kind of a junior programmer almost at the very beginning. I don't think, you know, my title wasn't really that, but they brought me in and into a spot that they weren't looking for a senior developer.
Exactly. So
that's how I got my job.
And that's a little different, you know, I mean.
Well, that's where personality becomes such a big part of it. I mean, because that's the one thing.
But I still wouldn't list like all the language, every single language I've seen on the internet and wrote a little script in, I'm not going to list it on my resume. Right. You know?
Well, but what I'm saying is, if you're a junior guy, I think if you're a guy who's just coming out of college, you're not going to be kidding anybody. You've got no work experience.
Yeah.
Well, you do put everything that you've ever possibly touched, and then you hope that when you get in there, because if you're really going up against other junior people, then what you got to hope for is that you've got that personality and something that, you know, when we look at you, we go, okay, you're teachable and I could stand to be around you 8 hours a day.
How well can you play ball?
Exactly.
Those are important things to know.
They're very important. Well, you know, because you do have to work with this person eight plus hours a day.
Right.
You know, you want to want to get along with them. And we have a great team where everyone gets along. And I think that goes towards how well the code we put out is.
Well, and
because we work
the team
so
evolves.
Together. Yeah.
You know, everybody works together. I mean, we've all worked with that person that is just brilliant. but nobody can stand to work on a project with them. Nobody wants to be around them. And I think that's one of the toughest things to do in an interview is actually try to figure out who that person is.
Yeah,
you
know? It is really hard.
Because you hate when you get that person. You're rocking a hard place. You're like, wow, you really do good work, but everybody hates you.
Yeah, and nobody wants to work with you. Yeah. I don't even want to work with you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty much how I got this job. I got hired on my personality.
Personality.
That's right. So.
But yeah, I mean, the whole, you know, I think it's important to test their skills in an interview, though, when it comes down to it. Because I think if you compare it, you know, I've heard they compare it to this, you know, if you're going to hire a magician, you want to see him do some magic tricks. You know, you're not going to hire a magician like, hey, I'm a magician. Okay, you're hired.
You're hired.
You know, if we're going to hire a programmer, I want to see you write some
right. I agree.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you can't just come in here and, you know, just say you're a programmer and then get all your stuff off of Google. And then we look at your project a week later and it's like copied and a whole bunch of snippets pasted from
it's
Google.
It's got the comments in from the person who originally wrote it.
Yeah,
you know,
logic doesn't
the comments
make
say, you know, 19 or 2007, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
And it doesn't make, you know, you're like, you have a master's degree in computer science?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this has never happened before.
Well, you know,
No. Never.
But, let me ask you guys a question, being on just the interviewee side. When you get in there, like when you've done interviews, how many times have you really been asked that question of, you know, what's your greatest quality or what's your least?
At the place where I got asked if I would work there if I had green hair, I got all of those questions. I got every typical cliche question you could get.
And doesn't that turn the company off to you almost?
Absolutely. I turned them down. They wanted to hire me. And yeah. I told, because I was going through a headhunter agency and I had made two interviews. And the first one, I got the whole, would you work here if you had to have green hair? And I responded, no. And the guy, oh, good.
Nice.
Good answer. I'm like, okay.
Then you were like, but yes, maybe.
I know. Well, he's like, he says, okay. Well, and why is that? And I said, well, I don't think that it would require me to have hair at all, much less green hair, to do my job well here. And okay, good answer. And what if it required that you green hair while you were here, but when you left at 5 o'clock, it magically turned to brown hair? I was like, are you kidding me, dude?
I think I would just walk out at that point.
Yeah. I just sat through it, and then it
depends how bad you need a job.
Yeah, I went through the second round of the interview, and the guy was the complete opposite. He was suspicious. It was like, why do you want to work here? Well, I've actually heard this is a good company to work for. Who'd you hear that from? Like, yeah. I'm not kidding you. I was like, dude.
Are you saying it's not a good company
exactly.
to work for?
And so they wanted me to do a third, and I just said, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm done.
That's the toughest deal, too.
Because you have to sell. I mean, yeah, I'm here to sell myself, but you got to sell me that I want to work here, too.
And as a person who is interviewing, you got to remember that there's nothing worse than leaving an interview and going, okay, I think I answered all their questions right, and forgetting to ask your own.
Right,
because
right.
it needs to be a fit. I mean, granted, especially in this economy, everybody's looking for a job, so a lot of people will settle. But you got to make sure that you're going to want to work there.
Except for programmers, it seems like it's been hard to find programmers lately.
For the level we're looking for,
or maybe it's just Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma is the number one. Has the lowest unemployment rate of any state in the United States, maybe it is.
Well, good programmers don't get let go either. I mean,
it's such
a hard commodity to find that you have to hire a good programmer away from another company. You're not really just going to find them unemployed unless, you know, a company went down,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. If you guys are looking for an employee, how important is it? How much stock do you put in certs? Let's just go ahead and go right into that next.
Certs or like degrees.
Certs, degrees, anything.
I mean,
I know that if you're looking at a guy who's got, you know, 30 years and he's been, you know, programming, he's a long beard. He's been doing this forever. And
there's nothing wrong with beards.
But it's obvious he's going to be able to do whatever you need him to do.
Yeah.
But you got a guy who's 5 years out of school. And what do you guys put in there? I mean, I've got a couple of certs. I don't have anything in programming, but I've got a couple of certs. And I've got my college degree. And I think that there are pros and cons to both.
You know, I got my degree in MIS, Management Information Systems. And to do that, they made me take 2 COBOL programming classes and then a lot of design theory, you know, the ERD stuff, database design, those type of things. And got hired out of college to be a COBOL programmer. You know, go figure, that was the only classes I took. And the first thing I found once I started working was I did not know how to program. College did not teach me how to program. So the first thing I did is I went back to school and focused on, you know, at least the degree I took didn't require me to know how to program to graduate. And so I went and took, you know, as many other programming classes as I could, you know, went to self-teach and then learned from some of the people there. And in my experience, some of the smartest people that I've worked with as programmers don't have degrees.
Right.
You know, I definitely don't think in this field it's a prerequisite. I would
agree.
I hope my doctor went to med school, but as far as a programmer goes, it is so...
The proof's in the pudding when it comes to programming.
It is, and it's very strange. It's not easy. I'm not trying to simplify it like you don't need to go to school to learn it, because it's to learn really good practices, you have to study, I think, on your own almost more than what you would in school. I mean, the best programmers we have are people that don't stop at 5 o'clock. You know, they're doing something on their own.
Always, right. They've got a website they're toying with. They've got
new technologies, keeping up with technologies.
Yeah, you know, trying to push the envelope. Yeah. And what was somebody said that if you're not getting in trouble twice a year, you're not working hard enough.
If you're not pushing the envelope to get in trouble twice a year,
something, you know,
you're not trying hard enough.
And so, no, a degree doesn't require you to have that. Now, I guess a degree shows a lot of. I don't know, a lot of skill at actually staying and continuing on with something, not
follow throughness.
Exactly.
I just made up words.
I thought that too until we had hired some people that had degrees and just didn't know anything. And I was like, you know, maybe they have the push to go through 4 years of college for programming. But it's almost like they don't even want to, because it's like they're not even trying.
Well, you know, and part of that is
such bad code. So it's almost like, do they have the push to go through it? Or are they just doing it because they think that's how they're going to get a job?
Did they Google their way through college?
Or did college really not prepare them for what it is like in the real world? I mean, a lot of these people come out thinking that they're going to be, you know, a project management guy.
And they're going to step into six-figure salaries right out of school.
Right, without any experience at all.
But as someone who doesn't have a degree, I've never even went to college. Excuse me. But I'm not saying it's a bad thing to go to college by any means, or to get a degree. I mean, if you want to go to college and get a degree in computer science, and you want to be a programmer, go for it.
Well,
But as someone who could potentially have a say in hiring someone, it's not going to affect my decision.
Right.
But some people,
their skills are going to affect my decision.
Well, if you had two people that were the same.
Yeah, but there are some companies that will look at degrees.
Sure. And it brings up a good point, though. If you are in the hiring process, you're qualified to decide if somebody has what it takes to do the job that you also do.
Right.
But in a lot of small shops, I mean, because where we work is big as far as where this is the biggest place I've ever worked.
The smallest place I've ever worked.
Yeah. Everywhere I've worked, it's been...
Company-wise or just programming team-wise?
Programming team-wise.
IT team-wise.
Yeah.
And actually, I guess it's the biggest company I've ever worked for as far as where we all are. But everywhere else I've ever worked, it's been 3 guys total, 4 guys total. When, you know, and you got a couple of, you know, you got a network admin, you got a PC flunky, you got a guy who's over both of them who does network admin, PC flunky, and writes code.
Yeah.
Or does SQL or all of the above. And then I worked for a place, they had 2 coders, they had a SQL guy. I was a network admin, and then a guy over everybody. I mean, that's the biggest I've ever been. So a lot of times you get people in a place like that in the hiring process who don't have any clue what they're really looking for.
Right.
So, and that's because I tell people that a lot. I'm like, you know, I'm glad I got my college degree. My college degree has nothing to do with computer science or IT. My degree's in broadcasting which is why I sound so fabulous right now. But
you do sound fabulous.
Thank you. But so, yeah, I'm glad I got my college degree. But like Matt says, it certainly has nothing to do with the skill set that I need now beyond being able to communicate.
Yeah.
You know, which is a surprisingly big thing. You know, we in the IT, especially in programming, one of the things, you know, you think of that nerd who just sits there and programs and, you know, is kind of in their own shell, which just wouldn't work well in many of groups, no matter how smart you are. If you can't,
if you can't interact,
you know, it's going to hinder you.
Yep.
Well, we with a two jobs ago, we worked at a place where we got to weed out the potential employees from, you know, 20 to 3. And the final decision would lie in the managing partner. It was a accounting firm. The managing partner of the IT department, who knew nothing about IT, they just needed somebody to be over that department, would make the final decision. And she would make the decision based on certs. And she, you know, she'd go, you guys weed it down. And then literally it would be, well, this guy has his MCSE, this guy doesn't.
Yeah.
And remember when MCSE was the big thing? That's what everybody was shooting
A plus plus. Exactly. Whatever, was.
And so for a guy who's looking to get the job, yeah, search can be very important because you may be getting hired by somebody who doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
It's part of it too.
It is sad. But if you're looking for the job, hey, good for me.
Yeah.
That I got the job over some other person especially when the economy's tight. So there's a plus. But on the other end, you get guys who've done nothing real world. And
may have all the certifications in the world.
Exactly.
They're just all academic.
And we've all seen plenty of them.
Oh, absolutely.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing you got to make sure you do, if you're one of those guys who, you know, you don't have a college degree, just make sure you don't sell yourself short. You, as a programmer, you know, if you're a good programmer, if you've worked around other people, you know, if you got your chops or not. And so you got to make sure that you, when you do go in and you do these interviews, that you don't let them lowball you on the fact that they try to say you is like, well, you don't have your degree.
Right.
Be smart enough to realize, you know what I do have is skill.
And I have experience.
Yeah. And that means
which is really more important, you know, when it comes down to it.
And there
experience is more important.
And I see that a lot, you know, these days where they do kind of, they look for experience equally as much as like a degree.
It always cracks me up when you see the whole, we're looking for this cert, or 5 years equivalent experience.
Yeah.
How do you have equivalent experience to a certification?
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because some of the certs, you go to like a boot camp for a week and get a cert.
Yeah.
So I need a week experience?
Exactly. All that proves is I learned how to study material and then take a test on it.
I think you can learn C# in a week, right?
Yeah. Or 24 hours. One of those Sam's books.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is the same with a degree. You know, you don't have to be a good programmer to get a degree in computer science.
Yeah.
With that.
You just have to know how to study good.
Exactly. Learn how to study the material
and
test it.
Study well.
Study well.
You didn't go to college. You don't say.
I'm a good studyist.
So if you're looking for a programmer who can study well,
right.
It's on with the college degree.
It's the same thing with guys who are certified instructors. That's a lot of those guys. That's all they know how to do is teach you how to. All they know how to do is teach.
It is very, you know, they just know how to speak what the examples are in the book.
Exactly.
I mean, speaking of that, I think we were going to talk about going to these tech ed / training classes, certification, or just any type of those tech things. I know I've been to one tech ed. I've been to numerous different type of offsite training where, you know, you go learn for a week.
Yeah.
I think you guys have all been sent to something similar.
I've been to a couple, three or four.
Well, I went to Tech Ed this year in L.A., and I've been to a C-sharp, like one-week C-sharp course when I, way back, they sent me to one when I first started.
Back in the Dizay.
I say that, and it wasn't really that long ago. It was like 3 years ago.
The Dizay wasn't.
Last year.
That was about 3 years ago.
All right, what do you guys think about? I'll start off with training classes. You're going to go to a week to learn more about SQL Server, about IIS. What type of benefit are you going to get?
I think it depends on the class. If you have a very focused subject, like, well, I don't know, program is a bad example of that, but like a technology.
I think
if you were going for like SQL Server reporting services, I could see that being a good thing, sure. Because there's a lot you can learn about SQL reporting services in a week. If you're going to C Sharp in a week,
that's a very good point.
I don't think you're going to get as much out of it.
And that was what I was going to say. I think if you're going to learn how to use a tool,
yes,
you're right. going to learn how to use a program, not necessarily a methodology or natural language.
Exactly.
But you're going to learn some tips and tricks. They can be invaluable because those people, that's all they do.
Yeah,
they know some special little shortcuts, you know, that can show you some things to happen. But
which is what I think is good about some of these programming conferences. Or Tech Ed is not specific to programming, but I mean, I went to all programming classes.
Yeah.
And they're very focused on a subject. And you get someone in there, especially if you get someone from Microsoft who works on that team or builds that product. So they know everything about it. So you get some really good tricks, learn how to
use every in and out,
and that type of stuff.
If you're out there and you guys haven't been to a Tech Ed or, you know, what is it? The PDC now?
Yeah,
I've not been to one of those, but I think that would be even better.
That'd be better. That's really what we should be going to, I think, is PDC.
But I think they've driven us forward in technology in the last 2 years in ways that we would not have taken ourselves.
Exactly. I mean, it's just since May. I mean, there's stuff that I saw there that we've started adopting, like MVC, and which we talked about, and then Velocity,
which
we're gonna start trying to get into, even though it's still in a preview state, and stuff like that. And they're great places to learn about new technologies and current technologies, not just brand new stuff.
And a lot of those fill with tips and tricks as well.
I went to one on like a C# compiler tips and tricks from a guy on the C# compiler team. You know, I mean,
he would know.
Right.
I mean, this guy, you know, he's going to know because he builds the product.
No, Eric, what about you? What kind of experience have you had? Good, bad?
It's all been training courses, and it's all been like I went to an exchange course. I went to a maintaining a SQL database course, you know. And then anything else I ever did was when I was doing certs, and it was all, I mean, my certs are all self-study. I went through, when I was getting my A+ back in the 90s, I was trying to, you know, I was doing the whole, we'll teach you how to do this, guaranteed to pass.
But I'll
take it as long as you want. Keep paying us as long as you want. And then I just blew that off and did all the self-study. Actually, the dummies book have helped me more than anything when it came to doing my certifications. But from my experience, it's like you're saying, I wasn't learning concepts necessarily.
Right.
In exchange, there's only a couple of different ways to do the exact same thing, you know, and it's just, okay, which is best for your, you know, enterprise.
Right.
And in the SQL class that I mean, it's stuff that I'd already, a lot of it was things that I already knew how to do anyway.
Yeah.
And things that I'm not required to do daily when I go to work now. I'm learning more at work than I did at that class.
Yeah.
Don't confuse me. You know, if they are going to teach me how to program
F-sharp, I'm not going
to
confuse you.
In Las Vegas, I'm there. You know.
Would that confuse you?
All of it depends on location.
L.A. was fun. I didn't do anything.
Don't confuse Chris.
Don't confuse me.
I ate in the really expensive restaurant at the hotel
one
night. And then ate at Carl's Jr. every other night.
Yeah. I think I had
the per diems.
Yeah. But, I mean, so in training classes, if you've got – there were people – when I went to the SQL class, there were people in there who literally – had never touched SQL before.
Oh, and college grads?
exactly. There were people, we had a pretty good mix. There was a guy like me who had, I'd gone in and I'd edited, you know, tables and done backups and all that kind of stuff before, your basic maintenance stuff before. And then I got taught it all again.
Right.
And then we had people who were coming over from Oracle and they were just wanting to learn, okay, how do I do this in SQL Server as opposed to Oracle? And things along those lines. There were people who had never even seen an Access database, much less SQL before, and they've been put in charge of maintaining the SQL database that their company decided they needed. I mean, so we kind of had a wide gamut. I guess for people who'd never seen it before,
probably learned something.
They probably learned some things, but what scared me was like, you know, one of it was for like the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles. And this is a person who's going to be in charge of the database.
Oh, we've all been to the DMV.
Yeah. And they didn't have any database experience at all. And it wasn't like they were going to be a junior. Like, I'm coming in pretty much as a junior SQL guy.
Yeah.
And this was like, no, I'm it. Like, yeah. I got to go back Monday and know what I'm doing. And I'm like, you're screwed. You are not going to learn that here. So it just kind of depends.
Yeah.
Which goes back to our hiring, If the person doing the hiring doesn't understand the job, they're probably not going to find somebody who's going to fill it.
Right. Which is why I think if you're hiring developers, your developers should be in on the interview.
Absolutely.
On part of it.
Any type of those positions, you got to have it.
And I wanted to make something clear that people that have college degrees aren't bad programmers, all people. I probably made it sound like that. There's definitely people out there that have degrees in computer science that are awesome programmers. So
without a doubt.
So it's not that degrees are bad. It's not necessary.
It's not college is not what makes you a good programmer.
It's not proof.
I think that's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a good programmer whether you've gone to college or not.
Those guys were probably good programmers before they went to college.
Sure.
Or at least had the whatever it is that makes you a good programmer.
Right.
Nice little logical sense.
Yeah, I think we've Yeah.
Well, for me, I think certifications are more important for a job seeker than it is for someone who's hiring somebody.
That's an interesting point. I mean, talking about interviewing, if you are somebody who you're needing to get a job, and let's take the instance, the economy's bad now. So say you're a programmer and you're a VP.NET programmer, and all the positions you see are C#. That's the only thing that is open.
Yeah.
Do you go and try and take a C# training class and then try to present yourself as a C# programmer? Because in my opinion, I think it's going to be something very hard to pull off. Now,
it would be.
Depending on what you're getting hired, if you're getting hired in as a junior level, if you could maybe talk the talk a little and then Google your way
through. Prove a little bit of code in an interview.
Right. But if you're going in for, a senior position, you just couldn't pull it off.
Yeah.
Because the people, your peers are going to know. And it's not going to be comfortable for anybody involved.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree.
Cool.
All right. Hey,
so what tech conferences are coming up? Here in Oklahoma, we have that
Tulsa Tech Fest.
Do we really?
Yeah. It's like the Oklahoma. It's actually a couple of
we had some people go to it last year.
Crafty Coders went last year.
They did?
And we're actually thinking about trying to get a speaking gig there, but I doubt we'll get around to that.
Yeah, I guess we're a little late. When is that, October?
Yeah. No, I think it's like not till November this year.
Yeah, see, we got time.
I don't know
if it's technically a tech fest, but have you guys ever been to DEF CON?
No.
I've never actually been either. But
I'm a little too scared to go to DEF CON. I'm not a hacker either.
Right.
I don't know the first thing about
it. I've heard rumors about somebody that in our circle that was a elite hacksaw at one point.
In our circle?
Really?
Yeah.
I couldn't even begin to guess. Chandler.
Shh.
They're listening.
I don't have any torrents on my laptop. What are you talking about?
No,
I haven't reversed engineered.
No, I don't know anything about hacking, but yeah, I've never been to DEF CON. It doesn't really apply to me anyway. It's more network type stuff, I think.
It really is. It's not much on program.
But at Tech Fest, if we were going to try to get a speaking gig, what do you think we could talk about? Or maybe someone listening has an idea.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
That they would like to know.
You're probably not going to say Entity Framework after last week's show. But really.
God, no!
Talk about that again.
We thank you guys who are still here.
Yeah, I almost fell asleep listening to our last podcast.
Yeah,
until we started talking about Swoopo, and then it was a little better.
Swoopo, well, I love it.
No, I think if someone has an idea of like something if you're in Oklahoma and you're going to Tulsa Tech Fest, and you're like, hey, someone needs to talk about this, but you can't do it.
Yeah.
Send us an email.
Because I'm sure I can go to a training class and learn about it.
Exactly.
For 1 week.
Yeah. That's right.
I can speak you all of the book speak.
Yeah.
I'm just going to lip sync it. I'll just record his thing. And
all right. So I think it's that time of the podcast again for off-topic discussion.
It's recurring segment time.
Recurring segment.
Yeah, all right. We need to get some music.
We do need to, because you guys are...
I can give you some drums, but you guys bitched about it earlier. So.
Not in my left ear. Yeah. All right, so
if
this
it wasn't
week...
like, wow.
Granted, I was blasting you out a little bit. That's fine.
All right, so you had suggested let's talk about Project Natal.
I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
I'm not either. I'm not even sure how it's going to work.
Another Microsoft product, because we're in bed with Microsoft, as right. Some people probably think.
You hear that, Microsoft? We could use a little sponsorship.
Or I could just use an Xbox. How do you have to sponsor Jack?
That's right.
Jack Squatch.
Yeah. So maybe you can explain it a little bit.
As best I understand it, it's going to be a hook into the Xbox. And I think they said it's going to work with the existing Xbox, that you wouldn't need to purchase a new one.
That's cool.
But it's going to do, it's a motion sensitive thing where I guess you would put cameras on your TV or a camera. Hmm. And I don't know all the details. I just know some of the stuff I've seen from like YouTube clips. But you would play the game without any controller. You would actually be the controller. So if you were doing a driving game, you would hold your hands in front of you, act like you were driving, and act like you turned to the left to turn to the left. Put your foot down on like an imaginary gas pedal to do that.
Yeah, actually, when on Jimmy Fallon a month ago or whatever, look it up on YouTube or something, everyone listening, maybe I'll find a link for it and put it in the show notes. But
It up on YouTube.
They demoed it on the show, and they did a driving game where he held his hands out, you know, like a steering wheel. And I know everyone can't see this, but I look like I'm driving a car right now.
Matt just like is it. Holding his hands like a steering wheel.
And
you do sound good.
And he like put his foot forward, like 1 foot forward. And I think if I remember right, he put like a foot forward to go and then put his foot back.
Matt just hit the brakes. Matt just ran over an old lady.
It seemed like it worked pretty good. Now, I'm sure they had, you know, every technician from the project there making sure it went smooth because it was on TV. But it's not obviously out yet or anything, so they're still working on it. But
I think I was talking to you and I said, I was telling you I heard Hanselman and Hack talking about Johnny Lee, I guess, the big Wiimote guy
who we tried to get his stuff to work at
in our
office.
Is he the one that did the 3D stuff?
Yeah.
Saw that.
It was
YouTube
like the
stuff.
Yeah, where you use the Wiimote
we made a touch screen on just any screen.
On the wall.
Yeah. It's amazing stuff.
Then we couldn't get it to work on like one of the computers in the actual conference room. And I was like, this isn't gonna work.
We're not electricians, we're programmers.
We can't have meetings in our cubicles.
But he's working on it, and they were talking like in 150 other people like him, you know, of that type of caliber and that genius of trying to do stuff out of the box.
That guy is pretty smart.
So do you think this would wind up being a supposedly a direct Wii competitor? Everybody's going to say that. Everybody's going to go, but it seems completely different.
If it works like they say it is, then it's not the Wii doesn't even come into the same playground.
Yeah, because the Wii was in like a class of its own when it came out. It was a gaming system, but it was like, you know, Xbox and the PS3 were gaming systems, but completely different controls, you know. Right. So the Wii was kind of in its own little category out there. And then this, I think, will be in its own category.
If you haven't seen it, you should look it up. I mean, they show interacting with the screen and like menus where you use your hands to flip screens across.
It's crazy. I mean, it's just like, how does this?
Because
comes up with this stuff.
The NC-17 thing's going to come out, and you know what kind of virtual stuff's going to be happening. But I'm just going to still be like, I just want to be still.
Wow.
Man, I've seen a side of Chris that
this podcast just went to the next level.
Wasn't aware of, and I'm slightly frightened.
I'm definitely not going to be able to get it on iTunes now.
Darn it.
Actually, they're pretty loose on that.
That's right. We'll have episode 4.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be cool. It's still too early.
Do they have any kind of like release date or any kind of
in the future?
Yeah, just it's coming.
Yeah,
that's all you're getting.
I don't know. It'll be a while, but if it really does come about, it'll be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, so, excellent. All right. So now, do we? I know Michael kind of was a no show, but I think
He's not here.
I'm not here, guys. I went home. There you are.
He was talking earlier.
Yeah. Hey, Michael. How's it
going? I can't come out because I'm already out.
What does that mean?
I don't even know what it
means. What does that mean?
But, hey, we have a guest for the next show.
Excellent.
Our fellow crafty coder,
Bradley,
is going to come on, and we're going to talk about iPhone development. Which none of us have done.
Because we don't have a Mac.
And I don't even have an iPhone.
And this is going to be our first podcast where we don't talk about Microsoft.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
But we might do some comparisons.
But we actually are going to talk about Microsoft because there is a part of iPhone development where you can do .NET or Mono in for it. So, but mostly, I think we're going to be talking about Objective-C and what it takes to develop apps for the iPhone. So this should be an interesting podcast next week.
Yeah, no,
or not
it'll
next
be good.
Week, but next podcast. 2 weeks. I don't know when it is.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. It's a surprise.
TBA.
Just number four.
Yeah. So
that's right. Well, cool. That'll be very cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, thanks for giving us all this cool stuff to talk about again. Thank you for listening to podcast number 3. Hopefully, we'll have some listeners for podcast number 4. Please listen to us.
Yeah. And send us questions.
Exactly. Yeah, if you've got questions, if you've got comments, if you've got topics that you want to that you think you'd like to hear discussed, if you just want to tell us how awesome we are.
Yeah. We like that.
Absolutely.
We will definitely put you on the podcast if you do that.
That's right.
podcast@craftycoders.com. So send the questions in. They'd love to hear them and get those questions. So I'm Eric Moore for Chris Albrecht and Matt Chandler again. Thanks for listening to the Crafty Coders podcast.
Me too,
podcast.
Guys, Michael.
Oh, and Michael, he's out, but he's already out. So
bye.